Okay, we said that meat that was not salted, that was then cooked, if there wasn't shishim in the pot, keneged all the basar, then the contents of the pot, all the contents of the pot are asur. Why? Why neged kol basar? So here I want to remind you, why not just neged the dam that was exuded from the meat into the pot? And this is as we saw all throughout Hilchos Tarubos, in many places. Dela yad inan kama nefak mine. Remember, we've seen that svara in many places. And it plays its part here in Malicha because it is a klal gadol, the Iser Beheter. Namely, that we do not estimate how much came out unless there are grounds for calculating that exactly. Kigon, a new kli that's only been used once. I know what it absorbed. And if you'll look in the Sif Seidas to Siman Samach Tes, Seif Yud Aleph, you'll see that Ein Lahakel B'Shiur Zeh Afilu Behefse Merubeh. So it's pretty serious, this chashash to lo yadinan, or this stipulation to lo yadinan kamen nefak mine. Now, this basar that was cooked with its blood in it, what's the reason for ossering it? The boiling of the liquid in the pot causes the blood, the dam ha'evarim, that's muvla babasar, to be nisorer uporesh v'yotze lechutz. And then it goes into the water, v'chozer v'nivla, and it can be reabsorbed through cooking back into the meat. This blood then that's reabsorbed into the meat is dam ha'evarim sheperesh v'yotza lechutz. The difference between dam ha'evarim sheperesh v'yotza lechutz and dam ha'nefesh is that this blood is only belav dam ha'nefesh's bekares, but it's usher nonetheless. Now, how about if there was shishim in the pot? Then, when the blood comes out, it's batel miyad. If it gets reabsorbed, no big deal. Ain't no thing, right? It gets reabsorbed, okay? But there's the second side of the e-yidia, of the ignorance, of the lack of knowledge, of the lack of information that we have about how much kamen nefak mine. If we don't know kamen nefak mine, we also don't know kamen nisharbo, how much blood stayed in there. And therefore, even if there's shishim, perhaps some of the dama evarim remained inside, and it was nisorer uperish mimakom lemakom, but it wasn't yotze lechutz. And since we don't know how much came out, we also don't know how much stayed in. Therefore, that piece of meat is usser.
Why?
Because it has dama evarim sheperish mimakom lemakom. Now, you should know that that's controversial among the Rishonim. And let's understand why conceptually from the chiluk that the Gemara gives. There are some Rishonim who maintain that dam ha'evarim sheperish mimakom lemakom v'lo yatsa is mutter ba'achila. As long as you say yes, why, I'll just point that out. Kach kosvi matosvus v'arosh. Because, and why do they have that opinion? Because for them, if dam ha'evarim sheperesh biyatsa lechutz is usser, you could say then dam ha'evarim sheperesh below yatsa lechutz is not usser. Or you could say, Dam Haivarim Shelo Peresh Klal is not usher. In other words, when you give it two conditions as to what makes it usher, Sheperesh Mimakom Lamakom V'yatzal L'chutz, the absence of one of those could be enough. Which is the Dagesh? What's the Chiluk? Let me say it differently. What's the Chiluk? Is the Chiluk between Dam Haivarim Sheperesh V'yatzah versus Lo Yatzah? Or is the chiluk between Dame Varm Shalo Perish Klal Mimakom Lamakom and Dame Varm Sheperish V'yatzah L'chutz? There's an intermediate case. You have two extremes. I always say this. The law of the halachic middle. I always say this. I've said this like a number of times. You have two extremes. Halacha very often, or the Mishnah, speaks in binary categories. So you have two extremes. You have Dam Ha'ivarim Sheperish V'yatzah L'chutz. It did two things. It moved within the meat and was exuded out. You have, on the other hand, Dam Ha'ivarim that didn't move at all. Isn't there a middle case? Something that moved but didn't go out? Some Rishonim judge it like Dam Ha'ivarim Shelo Peresh Klal. Some judge it like Dam Ha'ivarim Sheperish V'yatzah L'chutz. Do you see how you could have that come about? Okay? That's the Machlokas Rishonim. Okay, and we just established the halacha. So Tosfos and the Rosh write that the important point, the focal point, is bein yatzah, bein lo yatzah. Im yatzah asur, im lo yatzah mutar, and therefore im peirish v'makom l'makom b'tocha basar, aval lo yatzah mutar, according to them. But the Rashban Rabbeinu Peretz maintained that the chiluk is between bein peresh to lo peresh. If it moved in the meat, it's aser. If it's the way it was, miteva briyaso, it's mutter. Even for them, though, this is only a suffek iser d'oraisa, but nevertheless, aslina l'chumra. The halacha, we hold like the Ramah, who paskins like the Machmirim here. So we follow the Ramah, who paskins like the Rashba and Rabbeinu Peretz. Now I wanted to explain one other detail in this particular matter that I find very important. This meat that became usur because it absorbed its own Dam Ha'ivarim Sheperesh into the boiling water and then was reabsorbed. Ein lo takana klal. There's nothing you can do to kasher. You can't salt it. You can't roast it. No, I'm saying that al pi halacha. This meat that was Nesar, Kipala Dame Varim, Sheperish, Ein Lo Takana Klal, that we follow the Ramah. Yeah, but now I'm going to say why, but even according to Ramah, I didn't say whether it had a Takana. Maybe you could have resalted or re-roasted, right? So you can't salt it, you can't roast it, you can't take it to South America with a multi-movement group and give it to the other people to eat. You can't do anything like that at all. Ein Lo Takana Klal. In the halachas of Malicha, Rabbi Bloom, we paskin that there's no power, not in Malicha and not in Tzliya, to be maflit dam that was absorbed derech bishul. Dam that got in through derech bishul, it's in the meat forever. There's not a power in the world that can remove it. Velozo spilvad. Ela filu hayashishim. The nesar habasar, and the basar became usher because we're choshishim, shema nisbashel, with its blood still inside, because it wasn't polate all the dam. That meat also ain lo takana klal, because ain koach bimlicha, ve'ein koach b'tzliya, to be mafli dam shenis bashel b'tof basar. So, stuff that got in there through Bishul can't come out. Stuff that stayed in there through Bishul. If a first process of Bishul couldn't get rid of it, then no process of Bishul will get rid of it. Yes, Rabbi?
It is similar to, you know, if certain iter is you can say that it's in the mixed into the top shell, and you know it's there, and you can see it, but it's impossible to remove it.
Right.
Like the bugs that sort of get meshed in there, it's not fully dissolved yet at the same time. Because if we're saying the blood here is not fully dissolved, is it like that? Or, meaning if it's fully dissolved from cooking, then it should be in the cooker.
Yeah, but we're saying this. Once you say the chashash, I think of it a little differently. And maybe this will be the way that it will really click for you. Once you maintain a chashash that cooking didn't remove all the blood, then if one, that's got to be blood that is super blood. It's impervious to cooking. It's so muvla b'basar, it won't come out. If it won't come out the first time, once you admitted that chashash, you got this piece of meat. It wasn't salted. You put it into this boiling water. Maybe you believe that boiling water will take it all out. But once you admit of the chashash that it doesn't, then what are the grounds to think a second time that it'll come out? It's blood that's impervious to the effects of Bishul.
I'm just understanding why it is. Okay, even if the blood is there, so it's still not, why can't we say that it's buckled? I don't know if it's okay. Meaning, is this like after so filibuster, or is this?
Because it's dam ha'ivarim sheperesh mimakom lemakom, the anan azlinan lechumra, that dam is in a lav. And when you consume it, right? Blood right away we know is not batel in the meat. We don't have such a svara. Blood's an iser. Blood might be in there, but blood's an iser. Right? I would warrant you probably that an animal, the rest of an animal's flesh is 60 times the blood that's in the animal. I don't know. Maybe there's some animals that's not the case. I know there's some animals who say, but let's just say even if it was. So why would you have to do Melicha Kla? Why don't you say it's batel there? Answer, right. Answer, it's not batel, right? In the meat, it's an usser. It's an iser. That blood is usser. It's yes. That meat is a galav. If it came out, yeah. If it went out, it could be batel there. I'm sorry. Hello. And if. Okay.
Can I just ask a question? Yeah. How does this compare to last year you were talking about Kavosh from the Rishon?
Mm-hmm. I'm about to do that. That's the exact next topic. And I'm going to make it all fit in the same framework. So if you want to hold the question, if you agree, and then wait till I say Krisha. Yeah.
Would this halacha apply to half cooked slate?
Yeah. So yes, it does. So if you cooked meat less than the shear of tzli, which is shear, the time that it would take for all the blood to drip out, then the process of tzli caused the blood to be perish makom lemakom. And therefore, since we hold blood that dame ivarim sheperish makom lemakom, alpha pisha lo yitzal lechutz is usher, azlina lechumra, that's where we are. Okay? Good. Okay? The chumra, though, maybe this will help, Ellie. The chumra of the second chumra, the chumra of the basar, because we say shema nisbashel im damo bifnim, right? That not all of it came out, is actually more chamur than the first chumra that we say choshishin that it reabsorbed. Because if there were shishim in the pot, we're mekiel behefsei merube. Because we assume then that all the blood did go lechutz, and it was nisbatel b'shishim, in the Kedera and were mekilin, that when it got reabsorbed, it was already batel. Two chumras here. Chumra that some of the blood remained in the meat and didn't come out through cooking. The chumra that it was reabsorbed. Why are we mekilin one and not in the other? So if you look in the Taz, Siman Chav, Samach Tes, Sif Katan, Chav Zayin, you'll see that Yeshlit Saref O Ta'am for Heter, for Kula. If we assume that there is blood that didn't go out of the meat, this blood is impervious to Bishul. Cooking will never be mafleed it. If it won't come out the first time, then we should assume it won't come out the second time. And therefore, it's dam ha'evarim ha'muvla b'basar v'lo peyresh v'makom l'makom. Okay? So that's why the two sfeikos are different conceptually. The two chashashos are different conceptually. Now, Simon Kufhei, we learned that anything that is nichbash b'mayim, is allowed to steep in liquid for 24 hours, is called kavush. And kavush kimivushal. Kavush kimivushal. It's only like mivushal. Kolomar, remember the prima gadin that we learned there? To whom maflit umavliya, like bishul, but it doesn't really cook. Therefore, meat that was steeped in water, soaked in water for 24 hours, me'es le'es, has the din of meat that was cooked in water. In one regard, everything in the pot is usser, if there wasn't shishim in the water, against the blood that had to have been drawn out. Because you have dam eivarim that was drawn out and then reabsorbed, just like through cooking. This meat also that was soaked in water for 24 hours without malicha first. Ein lo takana, lo bimlicha, v'lo b'tzliya. Because the kvisha is mavliya, it causes that blood to go back in. And dam that was absorbed al yedei kvisha, just like al yedei bishul, shuv lo yetze, lo al yedei malicha, but lo al yedei tzliya.
Why?
It's a principle.
But it doesn't share that
property of cooking. It's, it, from that regard, because we say it's mavliya, we say that once it went in, we assume that it's different, that blood that, in other words, think of it this way. You can see the Yad Yehuda discusses it if you want to look at it, but I'll give you a nice conceptual way that I understand it, I think, that you might like, and that's this. Salt and roasting have the property of being able to separate blood from its natural environment. Once something else has happened to them, they've changed essentially, and they no longer have that property. Now, remember all the strictures for kvisha? Has to be in 24 hours uninterrupted. If you pull it out and then put it back in again, the 24 hours doesn't count. It has to be the same liquid. You can't change the liquid, right? Remember all that. Also remember that the miktsas habasar that's above michutz lemayin, in this case, eino nesar ela kidei klipa. You cut away a kidei klipa above the waterline. Why? Because in kvisha, the dam's not mifapeya lamala. Okay? In the meat that was soaked in water, we also have the chashash that perhaps some blood remained in it. And therefore, it's Yiv Shar Lehakshiro L'Kedera. You can't cook it. The Mechaber permits salting a second time meat that was soaked in water for 24 hours. And then you can cook it. The Shach disagrees, and so we follow the Halacha. It's in Siman Samach Tes there. And the Shach says the following, that the Kvisha causes the blood to harden within the meat, and the process of Kvisha therefore ensures that that blood will never leave Lo Ayadei Malicha, Lo Ayadei Tzliya. The Chain Posek of Prima Gadim is one side of Heter there, but General Psak is that it's Usser. The Chain Posek of Chochmas Adam Poskim Achorami. Yes?
You just put it into a freezer, a refrigerator, right? Or you just leave it out, let's say, for 24 hours. Is that pause permissible?
Is that what?
Is that pause, that 24-hour pause? Just letting it sit, letting the blood sit in the buster.
We will get to that, but that's not a problem.
But
Basar Shishah Gimel Shloshim, Gimel Yamim, that could be a problem.
So why would 24 hours?
Because 24 hours soaking in water is a process of steeping. And the reason that people do that, why do you, let me ask you a question.
Sitting in a pool of its own blood is not also some sort of...
Oh, sitting in a pool of its own blood might be something different. That's a nozel. But you just said if you had meat that's just sitting there on a grate and the blood's dripping or something, I mean, you know, that's different. But let me just ask you the problem. What's the difference between a cucumber sitting on in an empty bowl and a cucumber sitting in brine for 18 minutes in thick brine, in tzir, if you will? What's the difference? The latter is a pickle. Okay? There is a process of pickling. If it sits for 24 hours with its own blood in there, it's kavush k'mevushal. It does something to the blood that's in there. The shishim would only be mevatel, the blood that was yotzei lechutz, but then, yes.
The blood that stayed in it never came out while it was in the meat, because it was...
It's the same din as Bishul. So if there was shishim, it's batel, and if it was reabsorbed, it absorbs something that's mutter. Yes. Okay? Yes.
But that doesn't matter even if it was batel.
Well, there's one big difference. One big difference between damsha bishlo and damsha kivasho. We said in damsha bishlo, if you cooked it and there was shishim in the water, then the pot, contents of the pot are mutter, but the meat is usser, because the meat might have reabsorbed. But if there was shishim, it reabsorbed batel, so stuff that is an iser, so the meat could be mutter from that perspective, but it's still usser, because maybe not all the blood came out. So the shishim only helps qua the remaining contents of the pot.
And you can't then salt it again afterwards, because now it's stuck in there.
Right. Ain lo takana klal. But there's a big difference between damsha bishlo in the meat and damsha kvasho. Damsha bishlo, we follow those rishonim who hold that it's only midrabanan. It's only usher midrabanan. So you have a piece of meat that was cooked without malicha. We follow the rishonim that say that that's only midrabanan. Here's where, this is always a tricky question, I was asked this one time. Here's where kavush k'mevushal comes to make a chumrah. I think I even mentioned this, by the way, in Kufay. Because kavush k'mevushal is only k'mevushal, all it does is mavliya umafvid. It only causes the blood to be reabsorbed through the kvisha process. Then that's not dam shabishlo, that's natural blood that has no changes been affected in it. So dam that's absorbed through kvisha is only kavush kimavushal, it's not really dam shabishlo, and therefore it's usser minatorah.
Which dam?
Dam that was absorbed back into the meat, derech kvisha. Okay? Why? Because the process of soaking or steeping doesn't change the essential nature of the blood as cooking does.
How can it be both ways, though?
It is. Yeah, it's only drabbanan then, but it's still dame varim sheperish v'yatzal l'chutz. Dame varim sheperish v'yatzal l'chutz v'nisbashel v'chozer v'nidla. We follow the Rishonim then that is only drabbanan. Okay. Now, remember also that just by kvisha in general iser v'heter, there's a difference if you steep it in very salty brine, betzir, mayim meluchim. So also in kvisha, the shear is different. It could be, if it's very sharp, it could be only 18 minutes. Okay? In order to make it dam she bishlo. Or kidam she bishlo. Okay? Now, we went over last time the dinim of hadaka rishona. What happens if you cooked, you salted the meat without first rinsing it off, without first doing the hadaka rishona? The meat has been rendered isur, and you cannot go and rinse it and salt it again. So paskins the mechaber. And the reason is because we are choshesh to all the deos as to why there is a requirement for a dacha rishona. Immediately, when you'll put the salt on the meat, the salt will absorb the surface blood that's all covering the meat, and this blood can never then again be exuded through malicha. Because malicha doesn't have the power to draw out blood that was absorbed from outside the meat. Therefore, if you salted meat that hadn't been rinsed, the surface blood wasn't rinsed off first, you can't salt it a second time. And this is even if you only salt it a little, the way we salt meat for roasting, which we're going to come to. And even if the salt didn't remain on the meat for a full shiur of malicha, because we always suspect, we're always anxious that the salt caused the blood on the surface of the meat to be absorbed into the meat, and that it will be impossible to remove that blood through a subsequent second salting. What can you do it if you salted it without the hadaka rishona? If you salted it with a full salting, you covered the whole surface of it, and you left it on for a shear of malicha, not only couldn't you resalt the meat, you couldn't even roast the meat to machshir. Then the surface blood is fully inside there, and you're finished.
Why can't it be buffered for the blood that's still in it? Why can't we then revive all the surface blood? You say that there's a surface. There's blood on the surface, and we're saying that the you're salting that blood that's causing that salt. That's causing that blood.
I don't think you want to say bitul. I thought you were going to say something else. I thought you were going to say that maybe if there's blood that was still in there,
right,
that blood will drag it out with it. While this, right, but we don't say that. Okay? We don't say that.
But there's blood still in the piece of meat, right?
There's blood still in the piece of meat.
And there's surface blood.
Right.
And you salt the surface blood, and what we say to, the surface blood might go into the meat, right? But then the piece of meat is much greater than its surface. So why wouldn't that blood then relative to the blood inside? We say that's not going to be mavliya and pelet at the same time, correct? So it's not like you, when you salt that piece of meat, you're going to lose the blood that's inside the meat, in which case you have...
Never see any kind of case where blood came from the outside, and you consider that the blood that's inside the meat is a tarovus, and that you could be batel. We never see such a svara. Okay?
Why is it wrong?
What?
Why is it wrong?
Because it's not, it's not like you have like two liquids, like a liquid in a bowl, and you poured it in there. Mm-hmm. How do you know how they mix within the blood? I mean, within the meat. I mean, it's not the same thing. Okay? If you salted the meat, a malicha meruba, melach all over, covered the whole surface, but you didn't leave it on for a shear of malicha, then that's a machlokas poskim. If we say that that meat can no longer be re-koshered. In that case, we poskin. Well, we've machlokas poskim as to whether or not you could salt, roast the meat. Have say merubah, we might allow you to roast the meat. But generally, we'd say that meat also ain't lo takana. How about if, let's take Dan's case, meat was salted below hadacha, and there was shishim in the meat. Oh, this is your case. Okay. Let's consider that case better. There's shishim in the meat, keneged habasar, keneged adam that was on the surface. That's the case that you want to talk about?
You're saying blood, shishim, blood in the basar.
No, I want to say there's shishim in the meat, keneged the blood that was on there. Because we're going to say the blood itself, miteva briyaso, is not batel. But here's blood that came from the outside, could it be batel in the meat? For instance, if meat absorbed gravy of nevela, we'd say if there's shishim in the meat, it's batel. If meat absorbs the tipas chalav, if there's shishim in the chaticha, it's mevatel. So let's take outside blood that was on the surface, you saw, you didn't wash it off, and you salt it, and it got absorbed. If there was shishim in the meat, keneged the basar that's on it, then we paskin that you can then rinse the meat and salt it again. And the reason is because all the chashash is that the whole reason for the chumrah is because we were worried about the approach that melach will be mavliya the dam that's on the basar right inside and you'll never be able to get it out again. Right? And here you don't have that chashash because even if it won't be, this dam won't come out, the basar could be mevatel with rushishim.
But don't we say that it's usher, anything that re-enters is usher b'mashu?
No, I didn't say that. I said that the blood inside the meat could be usher b'mashu. The blood that's there, miteva briyaso. Okay? So I'm saying that if the piece of meat is shishim times the surface blood that was on it, then we have grounds to re-salt it because even if the salting won't work, at least there was shishim. Okay? If that was, is that what you're asking? I misunderstood. Okay? All right. Good.
Do you count the volume of the blood and the meat in terms of shishim? Or just the volume of the basar? How
would you know what the volume of the blood is? Right. So just the volume of the meat. That's all. Okay? How about if I rinse the meat for salting? I did the right job. I did just like I'm supposed to. And then I cut it up into pieces. You've got to be mediach the basar again. Okay. It is therefore like meat that wasn't rinsed at all. If you cut it in such a way, though, that there's no surface blood, like you cut it on a diagonal slant, then it's okay. generally in Hefseh Merubah, the general rule in Hefseh Merubah is, in all those cases, that we allow you to resalt it. That's a general rule. Even though we're so hoshishin to the shita that the rinsing of the meat is because of the surface blood, nevertheless, in Hefseh Merubah, we can be somech on the other shita that it's not to remove the blood, but it's basically because the salt might absorb blood and not be efficacious. And if that's the case, then we can just resalt it again. Okay, I'm just going through all these notes I had typed up. I almost got a book here. Okay.
That was the smart.
Yeah, yeah. All of those shitos that we listed. Okay? Now, how about if you soak water, you soak it in cold water, or if you have meat that was frozen? Okay? Remember the Ron that said that the reason that we have to be Mediach and we have to then soak it and be Meshavshev Shifshuf Gadol is because we wanted Kadesh Yisrakecha Basar, remember? So that the salting process will be more efficacious and the meat will soften. If that's the case, and we're choshesh to that shita, which we are, then we have to make sure that the waters that we use to soak during the process of malicha, we don't soak for 24 hours, but the water that we soak it in order to soften it, is not too cold. Because when water is very cold, not only won't it soften the meat, but it'll actually will harden it. And so there's a requirement that the water that's used for Shriya generally not be very cold. We use Mayim Poshrim or water room temperature. In very cold climates then, the Poskim suggest that one warm the water first in order to take the edge, the cold edge off. If you soak the meat, not for 24 hours, but for a short time, in Mayim Karim, and you didn't soften it, then you have to go back and soak it again in Mayim Poshrim. How about if it's Erev Shabbos and you've got Tzorech Gadol, you've got guests coming, important guests, very important guests, and you don't have time to wait until the meat will, if it's frozen, if the meat will defrost. I hesitate to tell you this because you've got to be very careful. You can place the meat in a kli sheni that has warm water in it. You just have to make sure that the water isn't Yad Soledis and can use that to defrost the meat. Okay? Now, what else do we have to do? We have to do the Hadaka Achrona and we have to do the Hadaka Achrona and we have to do the heart and the liver. And I'll maybe say a few instances about the brains and things like that.
Can we talk about frozen also?
Yeah, we'll talk more about frozen, right? And we'll talk also about basar shenisalei min ha'ayin and basar sheshaha gimel yamin below malicha. Okay, so those are our remaining few little topics that we have left. Okay? I think a couple of them only are covered on the Bethina that I gave you, but I know you're not learning just for the Bethina. I know you're learning also to understand. Okay? So that is essentially most of the foundational principles of Malicha that we need to know. We'll go through the procedure with things that have a lot of blood in them, how you drain them. They'll be reminiscent of the kachal and how you drain the udder of its milk, right? And then we'll do a little review of taruvos, just to we'll do some cases that I prepared. Okay? All right? Now, essentially, we're very near the end of the road here. Okay? So I hope that you're working along and are ready for that wonderful day when we sit together to talk about Yeridea. Okay? If you have any problems with the Shechita Bechina that you're working on, you should send them to me. If you need any hints on any of the answers, send me an email. Yes?